Hey, it's JP here. Thanks so much for listening to the Coaching Culture Podcast. Just want to let you know that I have a very special deal going on my book, Calling Up, Discovering Your Journey to Transformational Leadership. If you go to thriveonchallenge.com, purchase it there and use the coupon code COACHINGCULTURE, all one word, you're going to save $10 off your order. This book is giving coaches practical tools, strategies, and systems so that they can build their culture and also to grow as a coach. So check it out for you and your staff today.
There's a puzzle about our memories of experiences. Let's call it the Disney paradox. And if you've been to one of the Disney theme parks, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If we were to sample your happiness level at, say, a couple of dozen different moments over the course of your park visit, my guess is that in a majority of those moments, you would actually be happier sitting on your couch at home. It's less humid there, less crowded. You can get a hot dog for less than 10 bucks. But as we reflect on our park visit, it might be one of the highlights of the year. Why is that? Psychologists know that our memories of our experiences are not really fair. We don't just take an average of our moment-by-moment sensations when we reflect on our experiences. Rather, we remember snippets, scenes, moments. And in particular, there are two moments that we disproportionately remember: the peak of the experience, which is either the best or the worst moment, and the ending. So when we look back on Disney, we tend to remember the roller coaster moments, the sweet family moments, the surprises, but we don't recall that moment-to-moment sweatiness and irritability. Now, when we talk about creating better experiences for the people we care about, whether that's our customers, our patients, our students, or our kids, what this means is that we're really talking about creating better moments. Great experiences hinge on peak moments.
Coaches, what if I told you, when your players think back to what it was like to play for you, or think back to their experience this past season, they wouldn't think about their day-to-day, their ups and downs from one practice to another, to a game to another, but they would think back to the most meaningful experiences that they had, either positively or negatively. What we're learning from Dan Heath, who you listened to here just a moment ago, is that those moments can be created. And what we're going to dive into over the next couple of weeks here on the podcast is, how can we be intentional about creating peak experiences for our players to create memories and experiences that will last far beyond their time with us?
Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm JP Nurbin alongside my co-host Nate Sanderson. And every week in 30 minutes or less, we're giving you transformational leadership tools and strategies. This podcast is brought to you by Thrive on Challenge, which provides mentorship for coaches to help them grow as a coach and build their culture. You can learn more at thriveonchallenge.com. You're listening to episode 88, Creating Powerful Moments for Your Team, Part 1. Now, before we get into today's episode, I just want to tell all our listeners about a very special experience we at Thrive on Challenge are creating for coaches. Nate and I are hosting a 3-day retreat July 22nd to 25th for a small group of coaches in the mountains of Park City, Utah. And while many of the coaches in attendance are part of the mentorship program that we know already, we have a couple spots we wanted to open up to listeners of the podcast. And if this is of interest to you, just click on the link in the details of this episode for more information. It is guaranteed to be a powerful experience for any leader out there. Now, without further ado, let's get right into today's episode.
All right, JP, I want to start with a quote from the book, The Power of Moments, here, where the Heath brothers write this: our lives are measured in moments, and defining moments are the ones that endure in our memories. Those moments are memorable and meaningful, and we must think in terms of moments. Now, when I first read this book about a year ago, I was challenged a little bit with the memories of my own players. I had just gotten done with our first season at Linmar, and I was looking over some of the exit interview notes and some of the things that they had written about the year in our yearbook. And I noticed that the things that stuck out to the players that endured in their memories after the season weren't exactly the same moments that stuck out to me. In fact, this past season, you know, we made a lot of improvement this year. We went 11-11. We beat three ranked teams. You know, we had a couple big upsets. And to me, those were like defining of our season. And yet when I go back and I look at and ask the players, what do you remember most? What was most meaningful to you during the year? The number one answer was going sledding on a snow day together as a team. It wasn't the wins. It wasn't the outcomes. It wasn't even the improvement. And as I started to dig into what the Heath brothers talk about in The Power of Moments, I'm starting to realize that there are some things that are consistent with the memories that my players seem to come back to over and over. And I think the challenge for us as coaches is, are there ways that we can start to, number one, understand our players a little bit better in terms of what is lasting at the end of a season or at the end of their career? And are there ways that we can be more intentional about creating moments that will stay with them?
So Nate, what I really enjoyed about the book Power Moments is that it was actually really challenging for me. I mean, it really challenged some of the ways that I kind of saw this idea of building the team and building your culture, in the sense that I think I'm really focused on the systems and processes that you put in place with your team. And I think that that's always been a big area of focus. I've never been into team building activities or doing things really outside of the practice that with a lot of intentionality. I've never been one that really focused a lot on the senior nights or the first day of practice on making those special experiences for people. I've kind of just kind of tried to move through those quickly so that we can get to the next thing, to prepare for the next game, to prepare for the next practice. And that's an area that I think I always struggled at and really neglected as a coach for years. And this book has really challenged me to think about how can I take the moments and that are those scheduled moments, those first practices, those senior nights, those type of moments, how can I make those even more special for our players? But also, how can I seek out new opportunities to create special experiences and moments for our players throughout the season that are a little bit unexpected? Now, the Heath brothers give us four key ingredients that make moments powerful, all right? Four key ingredients over the course of this book. And as I was kind of reading through the book, I realized the moments that my players will remember, these ingredients were very, very common threads within them. But also, not just in my powerful moments as a coach, but my powerful moments just in my own life, these key ingredients were very, very evident there. So why don't you take us through what those four key ingredients were in the book?
Well, the book is divided up essentially into four categories, and the authors more or less spend a quarter of the book on each one. But as you and I have discussed, these categories tend to overlap, so we're going to talk about them all at once and then talk about ways that we can apply them to our coaching. So the first category that goes into building powerful moments is the concept of elevation. It's this idea that this moment becomes memorable because it's different from other moments. It rises above an everyday. It's literally extraordinary. I think in my own personal life, you know, the day that I proposed to my wife, like that was her 21st birthday, and we did a scavenger hunt with these clues that were scattered out over four different cities. They involved a lot of our different friends and people that have been part of our life, and it all culminated at the end with, you know, me singing a song to her on the guitar and asking her to marry me, and thank God she said yes, or I wouldn't be here today. But nevertheless, we tried to take that day, like that's the birthday that stands out of all the birthdays that she had, because we elevated it. We tried to create this special experience. Now, the second category here is the idea of insight. In other words, it's a turning point in how we maybe see ourselves or how we see the world. It could be a significant paradigm shift. You know, again, you think in your own personal life of the first time that you, you know, drove a car, took a job, having kids, you know, versus not having kids, and like things suddenly change dramatically. And sometimes that's circumstantial. Sometimes that's just you've come to an understanding and you see the world differently. But when you can trace that back to a moment, like you can create these moments of insight, these moments of revelation, in a sense, where we start to think differently and life changed from that point on my timeline moving forward. The third category here are moments of pride. And those moments could be times of recognition, of significant achievement, where we've accomplished something. They're really moments where you're at your best and you remember them because of that. And they could be big or small. I remember I ran a half marathon shortly after I got out of college, and my 13th mile I ran in 6 minutes and 30 seconds. I didn't even know I could run a mile that fast. But we got to the 12th mile, and my partner was like, why don't you just take off and see what you can do? And, you know, for me, that felt so awesome. Like, I finished 487th in the race, but I remember that mile and what it felt like at the end. And so that's what kind of a moment of pride is. And then finally, the fourth category here are just moments of connection. Sometimes that could be interpersonally with a small group. Sometimes that could be with one other person. But when we go through things and we go through them together, it could be an accomplishment, it could be a challenge, it could be a hardship, but we think back to the connections that were forged in those moments, those memories tend to stick with us over time.
So let's talk a little bit about how we actually apply these ingredients, right? How we apply these ingredients to create these powerful moments within our team. And I think one of the things that we really want to jump into here, Nate, is how do people enter our program and how do they leave our program? And one of the things that I've been challenging a lot of coaches that I work with recently on is the first day experience. What does it feel like your first day when you start within your program? Whether you show up on the soccer field or the basketball court or on campus, what does that experience look like? What does it feel like? What are the players thinking that are part of your program? And it comes from the book, and where they share, the Heath brothers share a little bit of the story of how John Deere in Asia was really struggling with employee engagement and retention. And so they designed what they called the first day experience. And they literally got everybody in the company there at that office, in the Beijing office, to sit down and think about how could we make this a special experience for people when they come here on their first day. And so what they designed was, as soon as you accepted the offer letter from John Deere, you would get an email for what they called your John Deere friend, okay, which was someone that was already working there. And they would introduce themselves. They would let you know a little bit about what it's like to work there, maybe offer a few little tips. And they would say, hey, I'm going to be down in the lobby on your first day at this time to greet you. And so then the first day would come, that person, your John Deere friend, would show up in the lobby and be right there to greet you and acknowledge you and set you at your desk there where your computer was already set up perfectly, which was not what they were experiencing before this, right? There was, things were out of whack and all that. So they made everything seem very organized, but there's a welcome email and video from the CEO outlining the mission and of John Deere and what it means to be an employee there. And also they kind of maybe have a little marker by your desk, just letting everybody know that you were a new employee. And so throughout the day, people would make an effort to get by and just introduce themselves to you. And what they did was they created this first day experience that was like unlike any other experience that people had really had when it comes to their first day of work, right? This is, for many of us that have had a first day of work, it's usually in most schools or our business is fairly disorganized, but they wanted to send a really important message to their employees. And they kind of say in the book, you leave the office that day thinking, I belong here, the work we're doing matters, and I matter to them.
You know, JP, when I hear that quote from the employee that was onboarded at John Deere, the challenging thing for me as I reflected on that is I honestly don't know when those moments happen when our players are in our program. In other words, if I went to my captains or my seniors and I asked them, when did you first feel like you really belonged here? Or when did it first feel like what we're doing in this basketball program actually matters? Whether it matters at the school, it matters in the community, it matters to them. But when did it gain significance in their life? And when did they feel like they mattered to us? You know, and I think that we might assume that that happens, or we might hope that that happens when they're first coming in as freshmen or when they first start as a varsity player or whatever. But I would venture to guess that for some of our players, some of those things never happen. And as I am challenged by reading this book and trying to apply it to what we're doing, I think that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I'm not necessarily doing enough to make sure that it does happen at some point, or at least laying the groundwork for opportunities for that to happen, because I'm more or less leaving it to chance and assuming that it will at some point.
So one of the really important pieces of the John Deere story that actually stuck with me wasn't just the experience for the new employee, it was the experience for everyone in the company, right? And it kind of actually was a way of really solidifying what they were about here. Like, what are we about here? Because people had to think about that when they decided what they wanted to communicate to the new employee, what they wanted that experience to be like. And so I think there's value in this first day experience, not just for the new people, but for the returning players. And so one of the things that I've been working with a lot of programs on is getting the players to really drive this first day experience. You know, a couple coaches really asked, well, you know, how do I get my players to buy into this so that they actually really care about the freshmen? Because typically in a lot of places, there's the freshman hazing. Let's make things really hard for them. Well, it's really important for us to develop empathy in our athletes. We have to actually develop that skill. We have to develop that ability if we want them to be selfless. If we want them to buy into this whole idea of servant leadership, they have to be able to empathize with their people. So these would be three questions that you as a coach could ask your returning players in just a team meeting or in some one-on-one conversations. And the first one would be, what was your first day like? What did you feel? What were you thinking? And getting them to kind of talk about that and open up about that would be the first thing. The second question would be, what do you actually want the first day experience to be like for the new players coming in? Like, you know, if you felt anxiety or nervousness or all those type of things, actually, do you actually want that? No, you probably don't want that for them. So what do we want? What do we want that first day experience to be like for them? To kind of really talk about the desired outcomes. And then the third question is, okay, what can you do? What can you and your teammates do to create that experience, to create those outcomes where they feel like they belong, they're connected, that there's something special about our team here, our program, and they're bought into what we're trying to do? And those three questions, I think, can really start to get them to empathize with the new people and then to start to come up with some practical ways to actually serve them.
JP, I think those questions are great and a great way to engage your players in reflecting back on what their experience was like coming into the program and maybe what they wish it would have been like if it wasn't something that was welcoming and communicated belonging and that sort of thing. You know, we've been challenged by this in our program, and we're going to try to do something a little bit different this summer with our camp, where our incoming ninth graders, rather than just showing up, kind of standing around and looking at all the upperclassmen and not really sure what's going on and nobody knowing their name and that uncomfortable awkwardness that you feel the first time you walk into a group and you don't know what's going on. We're going to try to create more of a big sister program this year for our ninth graders coming in. So our upperclassmen will be assigned, you know, two or three of those players coming in. And even before they arrive at camp for the first day of the summer, they'll just text them and say, hey, do you have any questions? A couple reminders about, you know, bring your practice jersey or remember we're going to meet at 2 o'clock or whatever it might be. And then making sure that the upperclassmen are there first so that when the incoming freshmen arrive or their little sisters arrive, that they're there to greet them and, you know, just make them feel comfortable and welcome because there's somebody that recognizes them, knows their name, and can help them to answer any questions that they might have to start. And the other thing that we're doing a little bit differently is rather than having our 9th through 12th grade all together at one time, we're splitting out our camp so that our incoming 8th and 9th graders will be together so that our upperclassmen aren't practicing at the same time, but that they can come in and share a little bit of their experience about what it was like when they came into the program and maybe some of the challenges that they experienced their freshman year, whether that's related to basketball or being in high school for the first time or whatever. And the other opportunity that we have by bringing our upperclassmen in is we're going to have them practice alongside our 8th and 9th graders. So rather than have me give a lecture about effort and love and, you know, working hard, like we're going to just get our players into drills. And normally our seniors wouldn't practice with our freshmen, but this gives them an opportunity to be in the same groups with their little sisters and show them this is what effort looks like, to show them this is how we high five, this is how we encourage each other, this is how we communicate with each other. And I think that that kind of leads back to some of that insight that the Heath brothers were talking about, where you're creating an environment where they can absorb some of those values through their connections in order to start learning how to participate in the culture and hopefully feel like they're valued and that they matter.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point about the insight. I mean, it's one thing to the kids show up or the parents show up and to hand them your program guide or have a speech about this is what we value or this is the way we do things here, or, you know, but I think it's way more powerful that they have this experience where they gain insight because they see it modeled in our program. So I think that's really, really powerful way to do that. third thing I'd say is let's tap, you know, how can we tap into this, what Dan Heath brings up, which is this idea of pride, right? And I saw one actually high school coach on the really early on in their program, maybe on the first day, they actually kind of gave out these practice uniforms, but they didn't just give out the practice uniform. They took the time to take a picture of every player in their first practice uniform, and which was could have been just any other moment for them, but they made it a special moment because they took the picture and then they posted to social media just saying, we are really excited to have so-and-so as part of the program, looking forward to the next 4 years. And it's just a really powerful way to elevate that beginning, to make this a moment of pride where you are proud to be a Warrior, or you're proud to be a Lion or an Eagle, whatever it is, and just to publicly put it out there, I think that's pretty special.
Now, the thing that I would challenge coaches with here, too, is there are a lot of beginnings in your program. And it doesn't mean that everyone has to be celebrated on social media or has to be an elevated moment, but there are opportunities to be able to construct some of those experiences for players. And whether it's the first day of practice, it's the first day at summer camp, it's the first time that they wear a varsity uniform, it's the first time that their name gets called in the starting lineup, there's a lot of firsts that happen in a high school career or a college career. And I'd really encourage coaches just to kind of explore, are there ways that we could make some of those firsts a little bit more special, a little bit more memorable, to create some of those lasting memories, right, that go with players as they go through their program. Now, the other side of this we want to talk about this week is the end. When a player gets to their senior year, when they get to the end of their career playing for you, is there a ramp, kind of an off-ramp, that allows them to have a special experience on a senior night or in their last home game or, you know, the last time that they put on the uniform? Because I think those are natural moments as well where you can really solidify what the whole experience has meant if you make the last special.
Yeah, Nate, not only was I unintentional in the way players entered our program, I was really unintentional in the way players left our program. And I think back to how we ran senior night, it was very much like how we often approached the end of the year banquet. It was one of these things that we had to do. It was near the end of the year, and typically we were kind of worn out, and there's other things, maybe we're preparing for the playoffs, and so I never really gave it much thought. I was just like, let's get through this without making anybody angry and move on to the next thing. And after listening to some of the ideas that you're going to share here with us, I really kind of come to realize that I really missed some big opportunities to create some powerful moments.
JP, I know that feeling when you think about senior night of it being an obligation, you want to do it right. You know, if you do it wrong, you're probably going to catch some flack. It's usually your last home game, a game that you want to win. You're getting ready for the postseason. But at the same time, we've started to think about that night a little bit differently. And rather than think of it as something we have to get through, we've started thinking of it as, how can it become the pinnacle of our players' experience in our program? I mean, if they've spent 4 years building this culture, building this experience for others, and hopefully enjoying that experience themselves, they are going through a reflective time as well, looking back at their career and wanting to enjoy their last few games in the uniform. This should be a special moment, a special night of honoring those players for everything that they've done for the program up until that point. So we've started to do some things differently over the last couple of years. One of the things is we started to try to build a little bit more of a crowd on senior night by creating teacher appreciation night. And again, if you think about people that have invested in your players, it's not just your coaches. They've been in the classroom with teachers throughout their high school career. So 2 weeks before we have our senior night in our Mental Health Wednesday, we make appreciation cards, and we wrote out about 100 cards to teachers in our district last year, just writing, you know, here's what we appreciate about you as a teacher, and inviting them to come and be honored at Teacher Appreciation Night, which was also our senior night. We'd follow that up with an email out to the entire staff about, you know, 10 days before, week and a half before, just inviting them to come and honor our seniors for the last time for their last home game. And so that helps to generate a little bit more awareness, I think, in our whole community in the school. And sometimes those teachers can't make the game, but they're striking up a conversation with our seniors, or they're talking to them about, you know, their career, what have you. The second thing that we do then the following week, so this would be the Wednesday before that senior night game, is we've started having our seniors present their last lecture. And this is stolen from Randy Pausch, if you're familiar with his last lecture in his book called The Last Lecture. where he was a professor, and long story short, he's dying of cancer and gave one more lecture to his students and the faculty at Carnegie Mellon where he taught. And when I saw that, I thought, this is a really powerful opportunity. And I used to teach a leadership class, and this became our final, kind of our final project. And I thought more and more about, wouldn't this be appropriate to do for our seniors, to kind of give their last perspective back to the players that will follow them, the freshmen, the sophomores, and the juniors, all gather together. And the seniors talk a little bit about their experience and their favorite memories, and it gives them a chance to leave some advice to the players that would follow them. Here's what I've learned in 4 years. Here's what I wish I would have known when I was sitting out there in your seat. And it's just a really cool way to get them to reflect on kind of the significance of their experience in our program. So that builds us toward the senior night game. And, you know, like many other schools, kids are going to get recognized and college plans are going to be read. They're going to get a flower with their parents before the game. We also have our varsity players write letters to our seniors. And so they'll come out and get a gift that's organized by our junior parents, which is usually some of the best pictures that were taken over the last year or two. But also they'll get a bag, and in that bag are sealed envelopes with letters written from their teammates, just talking about how much they've appreciated playing with them. So that's that connection piece that we talked about earlier, you know, and trying to get our players to connect better at the end. A couple other ideas that we've gotten a lot of mileage out of. One is to encourage the parents to share some of the photos of those seniors when they were little basketball players, when they were in first and second and third grade. And maybe that's a photo display board that's kind of out in the lobby before that senior night game. Other times we've made a slideshow video and we've shared that with our team and with the parents and with even the faculty at the school, where it takes pictures from those kids all the way up from little tykes all the way to being seniors. And maybe the most powerful thing that we've done for our players besides the last lecture is to have our seniors write letters to the players who will wear their jersey number in the future. We started collecting those letters in a file. We have our seniors read them to the team at the banquet. And again, it's just another way for them to have a capstone on their career where they feel like they're leaving something behind for people that are following them in the program, and allows them to really reflect on the most meaningful experiences in their journey.
Any one of those ideas that you just presented there, Nate, I think would have made my senior's experience of leaving the program a lot better. But I also think it would have done something even more than just have them feeling appreciated as they leave. And it comes back to the story that the Heath brothers actually start their book with in The Power of Moments. And it's the story of some administrators at a charter school in Houston. And they decided that they saw all these athletes having these really incredible moments on their athlete signing day, right? They commit to this certain college, and they put the hat on, and everyone cheers, and they have cake, and it's this really special moment. And they said, well, why don't we have that for our students? So they created an academic signing day, and this wasn't just impactful in that moment, but it also communicated messages to everybody else, right? It communicated messages to their family. It communicated messages to their younger brothers and sisters. It communicated messages to all these other kids within the school that this is a big moment. This is a powerful moment, and this is something that we can strive for. And so the impact that it had on the rest of the student body was actually incredible. And what they saw was, you know, this moment became bigger and bigger every year, now being in like bit large arenas, but also the graduation rate and the number of students that are actually going to college has increased because, and they largely point to this powerful moment. And I think that that's just a really significant story that it's not just about how they come in, but we can do some really powerful things with how they leave, and it will actually trickle down to the rest of our culture.
And JP, what you're describing there, Daniel Coyle refers to as ignition in the talent code, which is this idea that you're seeing somebody who was where you are today. If you're a freshman and they see a senior in our program, they say, that person was where I'm at today as a freshman, and they got to that level, that's where I want to get to. It communicates that it's possible to go from where I am to where I want to be. And that's a powerful insight sometimes for players to be able to see that in your program.
Now, next week, Nate and I are going to be jumping into the second half of our discussion around the power of moments. And, you know, whereas today we are focused on the beginnings and ends, we're going to be finding other ways to create moments throughout the season that are maybe a little bit unexpected, right, that our players aren't expecting, but they can be really moments of elevation and powerful moments that can kind of cement and grow our culture.
And coaches, if you are interested in exploring other ways to create these powerful moments in your cultures, we are hosting a retreat this summer, July 22nd to the 25th in Park City, Utah, gathering like-minded coaches who are looking to create a transformational culture in a transactional world. For more information, click on the link in the details for this episode or check out the newsletter from ThriveOnChallenge.com.